Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Nice day. A little chilly, but it's not bad. It's January. That's right. We're doing good. How about we turn to 624, please, and let's stand. 624.
Tossed when you are discouraging, all is lost. Count your many blessings, one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. And you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with plans and goal, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see God had done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done. So amid the
Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity to come to your house today. Thanks for keeping us safe this past week, Lord. Thanks for the everyday need, Lord, you have met for us. And it's always there, Lord. You're always going to do it for us. We have nothing to worry about, Lord. You're always there before us. Help us, Lord, to remember to follow. And Lord, if needed be, help us to remember that you'll carry us no matter what. Thank you, Lord, for this great place you've given us to live, Lord. Thank you for our many freedoms we enjoy, this nation. I pray for our leaders, Lord, as I always do. I pray that they might turn to you, Lord, for the answers they need in guiding this great nation. But, Lord, one of the great things of this nation is we have the freedom to come here and worship you, Lord. Thank you for that. I pray, Lord, for our pastor today. Thank you for him. Guide him, direct him today, Lord. I pray that his heart will be totally in tune with you, Lord, as he brings forth your message today. I pray it'd be one that would speak to someone today. And Lord, if someone's not saved here today, may that person get right before they leave this building today. Thank you for this time, Lord. Guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. Called, great is the Lord. Got it up there. Here we go.
Great
turn the page here. Here we go. Evening service tonight at 6. We have a film night tonight, so make sure you want to come out for that. The 24th of January is our personal evangelism schedule. The 26th is the Wilton Bible study schedule. We have a deacon meeting on the 19th at 6. January 21st is Iron Sharpens Iron, and women's Bible study is the 21st at 9 o'clock in the morning. There will be a members-only business meeting January 22nd at 6. This will take place of our evening service. There's going to be a music meeting on the 29th after the evening service at 7. And then fellowship at the end of the month will be at the end of this month. Kitchen team is Autumn and Sharon. We're short one person for the kitchen team, so hopefully we'll get somebody to volunteer and help out there. Pastor's thought for the week, how often do you thank God for the prayers of others on your behalf? Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up more than often. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for being our God. Thank you that we have the opportunity to thank you, Lord. Help us to remember to do so, as we've already been hinting toward today, Lord. Thank you so much for this time, Lord. So much you give to us, Lord. Many times we don't even think of it. We now have the opportunity, Lord, to give just a small portion back to you, Lord. May we do so. Be with the gift and the giver again, Lord, as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Kim's going to play for us now. I don't even see her. Evidently nothing. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lonnie. Thanks for leading us off.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone today? On a beautiful January 15th of the year of our Lord 2003, let me tell you, there's been many a times on January 15th we've been in a snowdrift, right? Sub-zero weather. Count your blessings. Amen. Yeah. Hey, it's good to be with you folks today. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to bring forth the Word of God. Just a couple things that I want to mention in advance. Tonight is film night here at the church, and that is simply just what it says. We're going to have a inspirational movie tonight here. And let me just tell you, it may run longer than 1 hour or even a little less, which our services normally do. But as you already know here at Fruitland, these doors are never locked. You can always get out. But I want you to know, come and enjoy that tonight, but also come to allow the Spirit to work in your life as we look at some things there to challenge us as well in the venue of a movie. Also, and we do those a couple of times a year at least, and also want to let you know that in February there will be a family fun night on a Wednesday evening. So we'll keep you informed about that because we do like to have fun here as well. But I greet all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm glad for everyone that's come through the doors. Again, we are glad for people that may be visiting. We're glad for people that have been here for umpteen years. We're glad for everyone because God is. And I trust today that you'll be blessed here as we look into some things that are critical to our lives, our spiritual lives, and what the Lord would have us to do. The other thing I just wanted to inform you of before I go into the preaching this morning is that I do have a fairly substantial backlog of requested messages, and I will take more. You always know that. and some that God's laid on my heart. So I'm going to declare today that beginning today, we will go into overtime by 1 hour each Sunday morning to see this backlog caught up. No, it's not April Fool's Day. Yes, I'm fooling. Did anyone have a little problem over that? But we don't want to waste our time. But seriously, I do have a substantial backlog. I'm working on all of them. It takes time to get all these things preached through. So today, we are here, it says in our bulletin anyway, for a worship service, right? And a worship service is to show again from our hearts how worthy the Lord Jesus Christ is. And let me tell you, folks, He is worthy. Amen. He is a great God. He is a wonderful God. And I'll tell you what, my friends, He wants to be with us. He likes to fellowship with us. He wants to be in your life and have Him to be put in first place and to enjoy what He has given to us, which is freedom and salvation and a wonderful thing that He's done for humanity. Title of our message, though, today is The Lost Children of Fundamentalism. This is a very serious message. It is a long message. We will be done on time. I anticipate, Lord willing, we'll be back next week to finish it. Does anyone have a problem? Well, in case you do, the complaint department's closed today. But with that said, we're glad for everyone. Let's take just 15, 20 seconds here to adjust our hearts before the Lord today, to let Him know that He is worthy. Maybe to share with Him this morning before we go into the pastoral prayer the thoughts of our heart, maybe to ask for forgiveness, maybe ask for His nearness today and His help in our lives. Let's take this time, then we'll pray and we'll hit the ground running. Our Father God, we thank You this day for Your blessings and just all the things that You have done in our lives. Lord, we thank You for that, just that few moments of quiet time. How often, Lord, blessed quietness, how often in this world do we really get to quiet our hearts before You? Lord, it's a hectic world. There's always a phone or a message that needs to be dealt with or other things in life. Lord, help us to seek those times when we can get alone with You and to come and pour our hearts out before You today. We acknowledge today, Lord, You indeed are the only one who is worthy of our worship. It's not about us, even though You've placed us in a very high position, Lord, because of Your love for us, but it's really all about You. You are the God of this world. You're the creator and sustainer, redeemer of the world through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so today we acknowledge that before Your throne. And we want to tell You, Lord, if it's genuine, we do love You. Lord, I also want to tell You that I need to be forgiven. I know that when I received You as Savior, when I trusted in Your salvation, I was forgiven eternally for my sin. But Lord, I still sin. And I just want You to know, Lord, I'm sorry. I pray You'll cleanse me. Lord, thank You for this wonderful privilege we have today of being able to gather with You in our midst. And I thank You for that today, Lord. Lord, as always, though, there are cares of this world that are involving every person that's here and those that are not here from our number today, Lord. And Lord, that includes our community here, Fruitland and the island area, but all the way up to Wilton and Columbus Junction and all over, Lord. People identify here with this place of gathering known as Fruitland Baptist Church. So Lord, today I pray that You would help and bind up the wounds of those that are hurting. Lord, those that may be grieving. Several in our number that may have physical ailments, but also, Lord, for those that may have spiritual ailments. I pray today, Lord, that You as the great physician would heal our wounds and heal our sickness. Now again, Lord, today this is a very important message. And Lord, also, before I forget, we pray for our community to be evangelized and to be saved. And Lord, that You keep the flame burning bright here at Fruitland Baptist Church that offers the marvelous gospel, the good news that man is not doomed to eternal loss, but can have a personal walk with You. Now, Lord, as we go into this message, it's a very relevant and important one that really has spanned a couple of generations in the church. And I pray, Lord, that You'll give me the ability and help to speak it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as you know, I'm weak, and as I've been praying all morning and through the week, Lord, help me to bring this forth for your honor and glory. The last thing I'm going to pray today, Lord, is I pray for spiritual results today, that the Holy Spirit would put a burr under people's saddle, Lord, and that we'd take some action about this rather than just to listen, but we'd be doers, and Lord, we'd see, even on this side of eternity, the results of the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word that works in lives. Lord, if there be one here today apart from you, may this be the day you'd call them, Lord, and they'd respond to become your child and to be saved. Now again, thank you for this time. May we use it wisely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, I greet you this morning with a message that is vitally important to the future of Bible-believing, practicing Christians, and the church, especially in what we have known as the fundamental circles. And I'm going to explain that here in just a minute. Which has stood as a definer of those that adhere to the basics of the biblical Christian teachings. In other words, if you hear the label applied to churches that they are fundamental churches, that simply, in most cases, not every case, because there are different sects of that, but what a fundamental teaching church is a church that teaches the fundamentals. It's a Bible teaching church, a Bible preaching church. And that's what we ascribe to be here at Fruitland. You won't come here and hear all kinds of fancy messages and eloquent speaking by me. We don't preach out of the Reader's Digest or off the internet. We preach the Bible. And so you can hold me accountable to what we talk about here today, because the Bible is going to be the basis of what we have. The Bible is the good news. It's God's book. That's what Bible means. Basic instructions before leaving earth. And my friends, we need to see that become alive in our lives, the Word of God. And that will grow our faith, or it will bring our faith on, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's defined. And I want to show us today the foundation of what has happened in most Bible teaching churches in the last two generations. And the phenomenon I am speaking about is that we have largely lost our kids from the church. We can be thankful here today. We have some young children in this church. That's a rarity in many churches today. But praise God, we still have some. And we still have some old kids in this church too, which I'm thankful for that. But folks, here's the basis of what I'm talking about today. Now, Kim and I have been down here at Fruitland for about 30 years total. Around 20 as pastor. But the fact of the matter is, and you know our family as well, we are missing four of our children, and by the way, we have four from this congregation today. Don't raise your hands, but is there anyone else in this congregation that's missing their children? Don't answer me. But you know what, folks? Knowing some of what I do about the history here at Fruitland Baptist Church, and it's interesting that Zelpha wanted this old bulletin printed in here today, and that was not done with me, and she didn't know what was coming down the pike. But it's interesting that even that bulletin will confirm we've lost a lot of our children, and it's a tragedy. You know what? I proffer here in this message this morning that had we have retained all of our children through all the people that have been here at Fruitland Baptist Church, we would have a church today that is 4 to 6 times bigger than what we have here this morning. Which would mean what? We would have been in several building programs over the years. By the way, you know, we don't know how God works in the churches. He's the one that draws people to himself in the local church. You know, there are options here in Muscatine, but I always say this, Fruitland is a good option because you can count that we will stand on God's Word. We're not based on programs, even though we have some programs here, and we could use more, but we are based on the fundamentals of the faith and the fact that we trust God for our existence. You will never find someone here at Fruitland that comes up, puts their arm around you, and says, how much can you give this year? They should put their arm around you to say, welcome, friend. Or, what part of the, you know, no one cranks on people's arms here. As I said earlier, the doors are not locked. You can always get out. But the Holy Spirit may constrain you to stay here and maybe give you joy to serve here. And so with that in mind, we are not like the run-of-the-mill churches. We're a little different. But I think that's a refreshing thing in our day and age. And I believe it's what God wants us. But folks, let's face it. If we had not lost the generations of our children in the churches today, what a difference that might have made. We really ought to stop right now and sit down and cry. Who's at fault for all of this? Well, folks, there's a lot of reasons. And if you're a parent here today, some of our children go to different churches and maybe in different... Some of our children, like ours, two of them live in different places. But I'm sorry to say, they probably are not regular and faithful either in their attendance at church. They were raised differently. Now, first of all, I want to give the usual disclaimer that I even give to our children. Kim and I were not perfect parents. Kim and I were not perfect parents. And neither were you. And you know what? I've told our children, and neither are you. We need God's help, folks. But there's been a massive exodus, a loss in our families. And to you folks that have young families here today, there is hope. And don't stop doing the right things. Keep on doing what you've always done. We'll lay this out this morning. You want me to read all the introduction? Or you've got the idea about this, though, don't you? Yeah. So this morning I hope to answer two whys. Why it has happened and why there is hope for a turnaround, but not in the way we might think. But before we answer the two whys, we also have to look at the what. So this morning, if you have your paper Bibles or your devices, let's go to Paul's letter to Timothy, his first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, 1 through 3. By the way, if you wonder where that's at, it's toward the back of the New Testament, toward the back of the Bible. You always can never be ashamed to use an index. That's what they're there for, and that'll give you the page number. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 3. And here it is right off the top, my friends. I believe a few generations back, and I tend to lay this out to us today, we're going to see what happened, and this is the root cause of it right here, my friends. So here it is. I'm going to read it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, folks, with all my heart, I believe by the indications that Scripture gives us, we are living in the late days before God does a fantastic work in the days to come. I mentioned to our junior high, senior high class this morning, God is always right on time, and God never welches on what He does. And because of this, folks, because this book of His tells us many prophecies that have been fulfilled and what was to take place in the future, and many of those prophecies have been fulfilled to the exact letter and day and time, that God will also fill and fulfill the rest of those exactly as He said, right on time, on the right day, at the right time. Anyway, here's what Paul told Timothy. He says, in the latter days. By the way, Paul even thought those days, almost 2,000 years ago now, 1,900 or so years to be exact. Well, that's not exact, but approximately, Sandra. He said, these are the last days. Let me tell you, folks, if you know mathematics, we're a lot further down the line today, 1,900 years or thereabouts. We're even further into the latter days. But here's what he tells us, and I'm going to give you some reasons this morning. The Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times, some shall what? Depart from the faith. Now, I would say this, that I am an orthodox Bible-believing Christian. Orthodox meaning orthos in the Greek meaning straight. I believe what the Bible says, and I believe it will come about exactly as he says. But what happens here is, he says, in the late days, there's going to be some people that are going to depart from the orthos, from the straight and narrow, because it's not what they want. And the reason it's not what they want is because of the next phrase in that verse, which says they have what? They have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons. People have come under the influence, and friends, even some people who are Christians, who are saved people, have listened to the wrong things. They haven't investigated what God's Word says and seen it proven out in their lives. They're running wild and free in our world, and they're saying, well, so-and-so on the radio, or so-and-so on the internet, or even just what Satan whispers in people's ears says, I don't need to stay on the straight and narrow anymore. These people are probably wrong, so you need to do a modified movement away from biblical Christian faith. And folks, I believe this is the core, among other things, of why our children are lost today. Now, it doesn't mean they're unsaved necessarily, but more on that later. But you never take that lightly, that they may not know Jesus personally. They've never been bought by the blood of the Lamb. So we never reduce that. But Paul goes on here in verse 2, he says, it's not enough that they depart from the faith, but he says they begin to speak lies in hypocrisy, having their consciences or conscience seared with a hot iron. It's not enough that they just departed from the faith, but then the teachings and the lifestyles and the things they've begun to do have undermined the faith. You understand what undermining is. You know, I come from a very practical background. I can't remember what year it was. Kenny, maybe you do. We had the big flash flood. I think it was like 2003. Maybe it was before that. 10 inches of rain one day. And it washed out a lot of bridge abutments, a lot of culverts and different things. You know, I saw a road not far from our place out in the on the farm there where the surface of the gravel road looked pretty good. But when you looked at the other view of that from the side, there was only about 6 inches of gravel and a little bit of dirt, and underneath it there was nothing. That road had been undermined. It still looked good on the surface. But if you'd have driven over that with anything that was very heavy, what would have happened? Boom. And folks, that's what's taken place. Satan has used these generations that are lost in many ways to undermine his work because they no longer believe it. They have a different version of what the scriptures say. Anyway, what they've taught are some things like this. What Paul lays out here, they've taught other anti-scriptural arrangements. Verse 3, have you noticed we don't have many weddings anymore? Why don't we have many weddings anymore? Because it's been reduced. You know, it's a piece of paper, like Lonnie says. By the way, marriage came from God. It's not a legal thing. It's not a government thing. It came from God. It's a union between a man and a woman for life. But you see, that's just one of the things. What they've done here is they've degenerated the teachings of the Word of God. And commanding to abstain from meats or foods, Paul, he's just using this as an example. But it's all kinds of anti-scriptural things. By the way, the Bible says in the New Testament, you can eat whatever you want to eat. What it says, though, in the New Testament is you better eat in the proper way because you could be a glutton or you could struggle from addictions on everything like I do with food and you do with different things in your life. But we've got to keep it straight with the Scriptures. And friends, that's what's happened. They've bent things and it's changed things. They've spoken lies and hypocrisy, again, and it's undermined the Christian faith. It's torn it down and made it weak. And it's made actually the orthodox teachings to be looked at as the wrong way. By the way, folks, this is nothing new. It happened in Israel. It's happened in other times throughout our world history. Read the history books. By the way, history means what? His story, God's story. If you go to chapters like Isaiah 6, you'll find in there and in that area where the prophet Isaiah is trying to turn Israel around and get them back in focus and in a relationship with their God. What happened in that nation is the things that used to be wrong now were right, and the things that used to be wrong, right, are now wrong. What can I say, folks? That's basically a look at modern-day America and our modern-day world. Anyway, these are the kind of things. They've discouraged scriptural teachings. The other thing is, as I mentioned this today, and they've offered anti-scriptural alternatives. But again, the other thing I always want to have as a line as I preach this is that there may be some of our children and children in the past and maybe some here in this room that never were genuinely redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They were never saved. Don't think that just because your child repeated a sentence after you and asked Jesus into their heart that they're saved. You'll know or not a pretty good indication if they're saved by their walk, by their fruits. But don't be high-minded. Don't be judgmental against them. Pray for them and continue to live your life for Jesus and encourage them in love. And we'll talk about that more as we go along today. This is not the first time that Satan has used these tricks, but our preceding 100 plus years, roughly, has been the modern day display of them. And we have the hope that the bottom will be reached sooner than later. By the way, I think we are closer to the bottom than you may think. We won't hear the conclusion of this message today, but even hogs get tired of wallowing in the mud. Right? Everyone in here should raise hogs. Outdoor hogs, the way we did it in the past. You will get an education. By the way, God has an education for you even if you don't come to church and hear the preaching. Even if you don't open your Bible, God will educate you if you'll look toward Him. But we need His Word. It helps us. The Spirit works through it. I do believe there's a bottom to all this stuff, folks. There has been in the past. You go back to the mid-1400s, 1500s, there was what we called the Reformation. Was everything perfect in that? No. But you know what? It got so bad that people finally, it's like in wrestling. You're not going to look up till you're pinned to your back. I had an interesting encounter yesterday at Auto Parts. Mark had backed one of the trucks out of the shed and broke a marker light. And I said, I got to get that fixed. It bothers me. So I went down to order some parts at O'Reilly's. There was a lady in there. Her husband was reffing a wrestling tournament yesterday. I think she said at Muscatine. She had battery trouble. I said, just tell him to go get over there and slap the mat. End the matches early. Pin, you know. Get over here and fix that battery. But anyway, there's a bottom. And barring the Lord's return, people get sick of the sin. And there is hope for a turnaround. Amen? Amen? Who's gloom and doomers here this morning? I don't see anything mentioned in Scripture about doom and gloom. Only for people that are headed for hell today. But it doesn't have to be because of Jesus. You know, that's the hope that people will turn around. Turn around simply means what in a theological term? Repent. Change your mind. Turn the other way. That's what it means. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm telling you, folks, what we're living in, this quagmire we have around us today, is not a good thing. We'd all want to see it different, wouldn't we, today? Let me tell you, it can be different today. And it starts with you and I. That's where it starts. And how we shine our light for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that is the what that has happened in a nutshell. 1 Timothy 4:1-3. We've bought into the wrong things. We've bought into Satan's lies. And now we're seeing the results of it very plain in front of our eyes. We agreed on that today? Or we need to have a fight or something over it? I'm not in the mood for that today. I'd rather fight Satan than the rest of this stuff. Now on to the whys. So here's the first why. Now some of the whys that has happened. By the way, as you know, I'm not a perfect speaker. I'm not even a perfect thinker. And the older I get, the less capable I think I am all the time. But you know, when you see one side running in one way, you also have to look at the other side that's running in the other. And I want you to think about this as I bring some of these points. Paul told the apostle Timothy, or his protege, not the apostle, his protege Timothy, the same thing. He says, hey, Timothy, this is what you're facing. Praise the Lord. It's a great thing, but things are going to get worse and worse. We'll look at that here in a minute. But let me tell you, folks, if you look at it this way, I'm backward with you. But if you put sin up here in this category on this side, I need to put it down here. Sin down here, and you see what happens in people's lives. Know this, that the propensity, according to what the Bible teaches, the second law of thermodynamics and so forth, sin is going to what? Sin is going to rise. And the things of God are going to be placed lower. That's the gravity we work with in our lives every day. It's always easier to what? To yield to Satan and to sin than to walk closer to God. By the way, the book of James says, if we'll draw close to God, He'll draw close to us. You know, God doesn't force us to do a thing. He wants us to do it, you know, and He promises He'll do that, but He's not going to force you. Just like here, the doors are not locked, you know. You don't have to be here, but God wants you to be with Him and in a walk with Him. Good to see you today, Jeremy, by the way. Anyway, some of the whys. This may take a while. I've already, in a sense, listed this out to you in those verses I read, but there's several points here. Oh, by the way, does everyone have a sheet? Do you? Outline of this? This will help you. Well, it might. And I even typed it so you'll be able to read it. Maybe I'll start putting it back up on the screen too, but this will get you where you got to be. Does anyone need one of those? Okay, by the way, they're free of charge. So, yeah, no, none of that either here, you know. Send your tithes and offerings. No, I'm just... Here's the first one, folks. There's been a spirit of rebellion unleashed by Satan in the lives of people in our day and in the last few generations. Has it always been there? Yes, but I'm going to tell you this morning why it's been exacerbated in the days that we live. A challenge to authority. A challenge to authority to see if it is genuine. You know, the people that are coming back to the Lord, the people that are coming back to biblical Christianity are coming back for one reason only. Because it's genuine. Because I can make assertions like this morning and say what the Bible has to say in it is objective truth. And you or I will be able to debate that and say, you know what, it is. Put that into someone's face. Show me what's wrong in the Bible. Show me where it has contradictions. Show me thus and thus and so. Show me a book that is equivalent to that. And they're going to say, I can't. There is nothing that compare to God's revealed word. It is not subjective, it is objective truth. And I'll stand on that every day. Because the Bible stands on it. God stands on it. But a spirit of rebellion is what takes... I'm going to give you an illustration. Some of you may get angry today, but as I always say, if you get mad, it's time to get glad, right? In the 1960s, and yes, I lived in the 1960s, and it didn't just start then. It started probably 120 years from where we are now or more, late 1800s. But you know what? People got to understanding, and if I were to ask you today, who do you and what do you really trust today? And I'm going to tell you, pretty much, God. My wife, she's proven to me now for almost 45 years and a few years more as my school partner and girlfriend. I can fairly well trust her. Kim, can you trust me? Now, we talked about this before we came today, that you were supposed to... Hey, we have... Kim and I still have fun. We do. Well, there's times, but we still have fun. Folks, you can't trust much of anything today. Now, I'm going to lay something out. Some of you might not like to hear, but it's the truth. You all know what the big catalyst was in the 60s for upheaval. It didn't start with it, but it was a big catalyst that drove it. And it was the Vietnam War. 1,100,000 North Vietnamese and Viet Cong were killed in that war. 250,000 South Vietnamese were killed in that war. 58,300 U.S. servicemen were killed or missing in action in that war. And as of yet today, there's at least 1,601 that are unaccounted for. And we weren't alone in that war. There were other nations, and there was a lot of killing and a lot of bloodshed. And I'm sorry, folks, but the way it turned out, the communists won and America lost. Why did we lose that war? Why did we go to that war to begin with? Have you ever heard of the USS Maddox? Have you ever heard of the Gulf of Tonkin incident? The USS Maddox was attacked legitimately by some North Vietnamese gunboats on August 2nd of 1964. But then what happened after that was a fabricated report of what happened on August 4th of an attack which never happened. And our president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, took action, and that's where officially the Vietnam War started. We went to war over something that was a lie. Communism was not a lie. It was a noble effort, and every soldier that gave their lives, praise God for them. They did the right things, but folks, when you see this all come down, that the whole thing was a setup. The United States government promoted corrupt leaders in South Vietnam, and the blood of precious American lives was spilled over a lie. That's why the campuses were torn up in the 60s. That's why some of this rebellion, not all of it, is there. Because you know what the old saying was in those days? Don't trust anyone over what? Over 30. Who said that? Lonnie. And folks, it goes on to this day. We've been duped and misled with corruptive actions. And it's the spirit that comes from Satan. The right motives were there in some of the things that we have done, not only as a nation, but as people. But when Satan gets into the mix and we don't know where we stand on things, folks, God help us. And that's a part of what's gone on. I see it changing a little today, but it's only going to change when people see something that's genuine. Young people are not going and joining churches because they don't believe, and rightfully so. Most of them are crooked as the day is long. They're not teaching the truth. We need to stay with the truth the best we can. Will you help me to do that? Have I said enough there? If you lived in the 60s, you know this is how it came down. And America, in many cases, had its hands tied behind its back to fight a war. We could debate that. That'll be the subject of debate. But bottom line, there's no debating how many people were killed. Not to mention the cost in financial terms. By the way, I want to tell you the truth today about something else. America is a bankrupt nation. $32 trillion in debt. And growing every day with these folks that we have in our government. It can never be paid back. Be prepared for what's coming down the pike. Inflation, and by the way, this isn't the first time we've had inflation in America or that it's been in the world, but inflation ends nations. Enough said. Second point in this. Is anyone upset or... Kinzer, are you okay? Yeah, okay. Kinzer gets quite radical in Sunday school sometimes. No, he doesn't. He's a nice young man. I enjoy what we have here. They probably are hoping for a different teacher, but anyway. Here it is. This is B, a transition from agrarian to modern society. Thinking again about our thing here. Sin's here, and it's doing what? And when sin increases in people's lives, in a nation or a given group, a church, God what? And no, I'm not shaking, but trying to illustrate that. You're saying, John, you crazy man, it's just because you're a farmer. You talk about things like this, but folks, it had a lot to do with it. When people all raised their own food or were tied closely to things, you didn't have all the modern conveniences and so on and so forth. Folks, I've said this before. I know I shouldn't point my fingers. When you're hoeing in your field to provide your source of life from the vegetables and the thing and the produce that you grow, or your cattle or hogs, and you're maybe growing it for a few others along the side, when you come in after that day, or when you go out on a day and you say, you know what, I'm going to go out and live it up today and I'm going to get myself in a lot of trouble. You're not going to do that when your livelihood and your food depends on that. But I would wager that most of the folks in here are proper. That's a better way I should put it. Most of you folks are not raising your own food. You don't want to do it. Why? Because it restrains my lifestyle, even though it might keep you closer to God. You get what I'm talking about here? Let me illustrate this. What's taken place in the last 120 years? 120 years ago today would have been what date? 19, I don't know, I had Wilton Mathematics. Yeah, something like that. The point is, I've said it before, you wouldn't have hopped in your car today, turned the key, and went to church. You'd have hopped on the horse and turned the key. Leah, do you believe that's true? I believe it is objective truth. Reality, folks, we're not living in reality today. Oh, there is a reality, but it's a fabricated reality that came right from Satan. You know, every modern convenience we have should have taken us where? Closer to God, but what's it done? Not in every case. It's like anything. You can have any modern convenience, but are you using it to God's glory, or are you using it to have more time for you and what Satan pushes you to do? Anyway, let me finish my thing. Transportation, communication, modern conveniences, they broke down the social fiber of the community connection. I don't need my neighbors. I don't need my family. I don't need God. I don't need anyone because I'm going to do it. The Frank Sinatra doctrine. I did it my way. Didn't Nancy have a song about these boots? Are made for what? You'd have to be from the 60s to remember all that. Kay, do you remember that? Or thank you for being honest. Yeah. It broke up the community connection. It broke up the family connection. By the way, why are our nursing homes filled with elderly people today? Not in every case. But you know, there was no such thing in many cases. Because families did what? We cared for our own. But today, yeah, I know you're going to go out here and say, yeah, John, you're judgmental. But think about some of these things. What's that?
The truth?
What's that got to do? Oh, I mean, it's the truth though, folks. People have been ushered into an independent lifestyle, and it became it became appealing increasingly. And yet today, there was a connectivity in the churches in the old. You know what? When you didn't have a way to escape your community in the old days, you were going to work together because this may still be the case, but it's not. By the way, if something happens to someone, how many years does it take to forget it? In most cases, people won't even think a thing about it within another year. It's forgotten. That's the kind of a culture and a society we live in today. But let me tell you something, folks. When it was a close-knit cultural community, you stayed in the boundaries, or you were what? But it wasn't all bad. Because that's what we should do as the church today, folks. We need to help each other. Got it. Satan wiped that out. In the guise of it being good, it turned into something terrible. Oh, I don't know. There's so much I'd like to say. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, Paul writes to Timothy, that thou knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. We lost that, folks. And it's because the doors are not locked. People can do what they want, and they don't want to be under anyone's accountability other than their own. Enough said on that, right? You want me to hammer some more on it? Think about it. If I'm wrong, the complaint department will be open at an unspecified time later in the week. Doug. Yep.
In such a hurry, you know, if they can't do it quick, they're not interested. That's the whole, even farmers today, you know that. It's how quick can you get it done, and that's all they're interested in.
Yep. And, you know, a lot of that's because they're afraid. I know people on the farm, and I can't say that I'm immune from this when I was doing it for real. You wonder, am I going to be able to get this in if I take a day to go to be with the Lord and get in His gathering, or should I stay home and put the crop in? Well, you know that I always came to gather with the Lord's people. But don't let me ever fool you. You wondered about that because it's a lack of what? It's a lack of faith. God tells us all through the book, don't worry about stuff. I got you covered. I'm paraphrasing here. And we don't trust Him. Anyway, third point this morning under the whys. And this might be the last, but it might not. Oh, Doug, you said you just wanted to visit. Let's just visit a little bit this morning.
Okay.
See, a disconnect due to distance and time from the struggles of our ancestors to maintain Bible truth and teaching. I'm going to teach you about a little history here today. Back in the 1930s, early 30s, our church used to belong to an association which still exists called the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. Some people like to insert the word revolting Baptist churches in that in the early days. Brenda, this is why. Because they were a group of people that had to leave churches over this kind of teachings that we're talking about here today. They said, we're going to stand for the orthos, for the straight teachings of the Bible. And therefore, many churches were rent asunder in the teens and 1920s, and there was a big movement, and they separated out of those churches. By the way, you want to hear a story about Muscatine? Oh, and I found my history book. Did I tell you that? Bethany's going to get it first. But Calvary Church today, which used to be Calvary Baptist Church. Kim and I used to go there many years ago. But, you know, its birthing came out of a church called First Baptist Church here in town that is now out on Mulberry, but used to be at Cedar Street, where the Vine is today. You know where I'm talking? The Vineyard. One morning, back in the 1940s, a group of Bible-believing Christians said, we've had enough of the liberal teaching. They got up out of the service, and they walked up 3rd Street to the Y. Not the Y WCA that used to be there, kitty-cornered on 3rd and, help me on this, Sycamore, right? But the old Y, that is, well, it was there in the area before where it was, before it went out to the Cedar, or what is that? Help me.
Logan,
yeah. MCSA, that was the Y that replaced the Y they went to. And then a week later, they began to meet in Hoffman Funeral Home. One block, it's where Benner's store was for us old-timers. Or what is now? Denny? Come and go. You think that I tell you just tales? I make these things up? They separated over that. Folks, there were battles that were fought. And you know what? The kids of that, which would be generations like Marilyn, or people in their upper days, they saw their parents go through this kind of stuff in many cases. And when they were close to the battle, they stayed close to the victory, and they said, we saw what they went through. They paid a heavy price to stand up for Jesus. Go ahead, Gene. Yeah, you're kind of quasi in that. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Gene. I'd hate to have you mad at me, too. Was I accurate, Gene? Well, it's not 100% truth, so Gene would correct some of those things. I think there's only one, maybe one charter member left of that group that we remember, and they were very young. This stuff really happened. But you know, as things have progressed, by the way, people forget that. That's what you're going to have to see rebirthed to see this turned around, is when people say, I'm not going to go Satan's way, I'm going to do it God's way, no matter what the cost is. Then you'll see it turn around. You agree with that, Larry? I'm not putting you on the spot, but I knew you would, so. This is so much fun, and I even get paid to do it. Let me finish. Are we still on the... I didn't give you some of the important facts under B. Church now became a choice. That was a key thing I didn't get to you. Church now became a choice. Now back to C, where we were. Disconnect. They lost their way because they did not see the struggles that took place. And the easy stuff was left for them. We got time to do one more point, don't we? That's the basis of this. Point D. Come back next week, Lord willing. Social and moral decay was promoted by higher education, now down to primary education. We have seen our educational system in America devolve in the last couple of generations and more because of this very same thing. You know what I'm talking about there, folks. Evolution versus creation. If you don't believe that you were brought to be and that things were brought to be by a God who created all things, by the way, there's more evidence for that than there is for evolution. This stuff is not orderly because it just happened randomly. It doesn't work that way. It's orderly because it was created divinely, orderly. But that's just one part of it. But this comes back, and you can think about this. I won't hammer on it, but folks, this is all part of this too. And like I said with wrestling, you got to get down on your back before you start looking up. Look at the evidence. 1 Timothy 3:13-17. And this is the one I was alluding to earlier, and we're going to fold up with this. Is everyone okay with that? 1 Timothy 3. What's the matter? You're messing me up here. 2 Timothy 3:13-17. Paul told Timothy, but evil men and seducers shall grow or wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Teach this verse to your children. But don't teach it by just memorizing it. Teach it how? Live it. And folks, that's where we've gotten off the track. We're going to fold it up there today. I'm just going to close with this. Someone remember we are at point E for next week to start, because there's more. But the best part is there's hope. And that's why we want to... There's hope today for you. There's hope for your families. There's hope for a church called Fruitland Baptist Church. Because there's hope in the Lord. Folks, if you're in a position in your life today where you... I don't know all of you in this room this morning, but if you are in a position today where some of these things have struck home, you'll want to hear the rest of this. But what I can tell you today is this, is that while there is yet time, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be rescued by God. To come back to truth. To come back to real love. God is love. And it's this simple, folks. We talked about that relationship between sin and righteousness. We can never attain righteousness of our own doing. That's the bottom line. There's only one way we can be brought into fellowship, back into fellowship with God as humans, and it is through His Son, Jesus Christ, who took our sin in our place and became sin for us who knew no sin, Jesus didn't know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And folks, there's no religion or anything like that to it. God's straightforward with stuff. Man makes stuff religious. Man makes stuff complicated. Today, if you need Jesus, if your sins have never been forgiven, the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord. Ask. The Bible says, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just believing He existed, that there was a man named Jesus, but do you believe He was God that came for you in the flesh? And if you will place your faith and trust in Him, the Bible says, you will be saved. That's all there is to it. You don't have to do anything. It's all been done. All we need to do is receive it. I want you to know that today. I want you to know that as we leave. Don't leave this building. When you're thinking, don't let this go. Know this, that Jesus wants us to be saved today, sooner than later. And if He's calling you, yield to Him today. Now, we'll catch up on this next week, but 5:35, if you'll stand, if you're able. This is what we call an invitation. 5:35, and I've simply illustrated that this morning. If you see some of these things, if the Spirit is saying, yeah, you know that crazy pastor, he might have a couple of these things right. If you're sick of the wallowing in the hog wallow, go to Jesus and be cleaned up. Jesus will cleanse our heart. By the way, you're always welcome to come forward. By the way, Jesus said, you know, if you don't acknowledge me publicly, my Father in heaven will not acknowledge you. This isn't something we hide. It's something we what? That's right. Jesus is waiting today. You're welcome to come up here at your seat, wherever. By the way, I'm here as a facilitator today. I cannot save you, but I can, and others here can show you what the Scriptures say about how to be rescued by Jesus this day. So this is a day for action. And remember this, there is room at the cross. Jesus died that every person could be saved if they choose it. He died for all. But the sad part is, some will not receive Him. I hope that's not anyone in here. Let's sing the first stanza. The cross upon thanks be to God for that wonderful love He has for us. Doug, I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer, please. Your name.